You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Key for joining us. Our buddy Clint Yates will join us in about 20 minutes. So, I thought Halloween was canceled. LZ, wasn't that the deal? Isn't Halloween supposed to be canceled?
It's a germy holiday. It's very germy. I would have thought it was canceled as well. Why do you ask?
I ask because my wife, and she's not the only one in my neighborhood, has put out Halloween stuff.
I thought you said she's not your only wife. I was going to be like, well, you want to say that on air? I'm glad you clarified that.
What was the name of that show on HBO? What was that show?
Sister Wives or something like that?
No. God, what was the name of that show? I'll remember in a second. Maybe someone can call in and remind me. But the guy, it was a guy that was like a polygamist or whatever on HBO. There was a show. I don't remember the name. Anyway. Yeah, so she's got Halloween stuff. And I'm like, what are we doing with the Halloween stuff? And she's like, well, it's Halloween. And I'm like, but there's no trick-or-treating. Like, Halloween is canceled. And she's like, yeah, but it's fine. I'm like, no, like, what's the whole point of this? Like, the whole point is you put out Halloween stuff because it's going to be Halloween, and if Halloween's canceled, then there's no reason to put Halloween stuff out.
I don't know.
Like, no, you're still okay decorating?
Well, here's the thing. I saw some stuff today, and I was like, oh, that'd be great, but I didn't want to entice people to come because, to your point, Halloween's canceled. We're very germy right now.
Yeah, I don't feel like having to wear my mask 7,000 times to open my door.
But there's nothing wrong with still decorating for the holiday just because you're celebrating it by yourselves. You got kids, George. You're not going to trick or treat with your kids?
It's spooky season.
I'm just going to give them candy.
Like, but you're not going to make them ring the doorbell out front?
Outside my house?
Yes.
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it. I hadn't thought this through yet.
There you go.
Are you going to decorate for Christmas outside your house?
Christmas is different, though. We have presents.
Why? No, outside. Stuff. Outside. Do you decorate outside your house?
We haven't.
Like, put up lights and all that kind of stuff?
We put up, well, actually, she has put up lights. A few, like, lights on, like, the porch or whatever. Yeah,
I guess. Why is it different?
I'm going to need you to be like more festive, George. George,
yeah,
I need you to be more festive.
I feel like
I'm
that's
Jewish
more
and I feel the same.
And because we're giving away gifts. Like, Christmas isn't canceled. Like, Halloween is canceled.
Christmas is inside.
But it's not canceled.
Family.
Like,
it's
the mayor didn't come
heart.
Out and say that Christmas is canceled.
Doesn't mean you can't decorate.
I don't know. That feels weird.
And Big Love, by the way.
Oh, Big Love is the name of the show. Thank you. Yes. 877-710-ESPN. Should you decorate even though Halloween is canceled, according to the mayor? All right. Clayton Kershaw today, LZ.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like I'm comfortable with Clayton Kershaw. You and I, over the years, have had a lot of conversations about Clayton Kershaw, right?
Yes.
I have been a staunch defender of Clayton Kershaw, okay? Even more so after this stinking cheating Astros did what they did to him and didn't swing at any of the 54 sliders or whatever he threw, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, Astros aside, his last two starts of the postseason have not been great. He's given up a combined 10 runs in those two starts, if I recall correctly. That dates back to 2018, and his last great start in the postseason was in the NLCS against Milwaukee, I may add. What is your level of concern, or how confident are you about Clayton Kershaw right now?
I think Clayton's going to be just fine. He had a great season. As many hiccups and restarts as this year's had, he's been consistent. He's been right there. His ERA was fantastic. And I know about some of his shortcomings in the postseason. I know this. But I also feel as if now is the time for him to once and for all exercised all those demons, and it starts right here, right now, with his renewed purpose
God, I hope so.
And renewed
I hope so.
Focus. It's time,
I hope so.
Man.
Let me tell you something.
This is his A-Rod gear.
There is, you know what? My God, you read my mind. That's exactly what I was going to say. I hope that this is his 2009 A-Rod year, because God, he deserves it, man. Like, he has been so bleeping good for this organization, and he gets absolutely annihilated by everyone this time of year if he has just one bad start. Now, again, now the problem is he's getting older, right? So that changes the dynamics some too. He doesn't have the stuff he once had, even though his velocity has increased from last year to this year. Last year, he had to kind of learn to pitch again in a different way because he had lost so much velocity. He's gained some of it back, which is nice to see. But, man, like I root for him almost as much as any athlete in sports right now, because I want him to get that burden off of his back.
Yeah, I don't want him in the cafeteria with all the greats, right? And they're sitting around talking about when they pitched and who they faced. And
right.
Everyone's, you know, touching and playing with their rings at the table as they have this exchange, except for Kershaw. He's busy looking at everyone else's ring. So I want him to be able to sit comfortably with Smoltzy, who hates the Dodgers. I want him to sit comfortably with all the greats. I want him to be able to look at, you know, at the mad bum and just say, hey, I got my ring, and I didn't have to be stupid to get it. Like, I want him to be able to, like, just walk around comfortably without having to say that he's all good with his career, but actually have his career be all good. Mm-hmm. There are certain athletes, and you know this, George, who tell you that they're all good with the way their career kind of panned out without the chip. I mean, you can tell from the inflection in their voice that it's not all good. Yeah,
It hurts.
I don't want him to hurt anymore.
Yeah. Listen, I grew up watching two of them, okay? Don Mattingly and Dan Marino. Like, I watched those guys. Those guys are Hall of Fame. Like, Mattingly, before the back injury, was absolutely a surefire Hall of Famer. Like, surefire Hall of Famer, and clearly Marino was. And when it doesn't happen, our boy Barkley, like, we're friends with Charles Barkley, you know what I mean? Like,
man,
that stuff hurts,
man. When Shaq goes in and talks about the rings and how you're supposed to talk about a champion, you don't know when Shaq goes there, man. You can't tell me that don't cut to the white meat. You can't tell me it doesn't cut to the, of course
he,
it does.
He laughs, but it hurts a little bit for
it
sure.
It hurts, man. Yeah. It hurts. I remember, you know, because, you know, I love tennis. I remember when Roger Federer hadn't won the French Open, and it was the one major he didn't win yet.
Yeah.
And he finally broke through.
Right.
And he cried and like he was like his very first one, because he knew that if he hadn't accomplished that goal, the Yale butts were coming to his career. And no all-time great wants a Yale butt. Kershaw doesn't deserve one.
Though Rafa's my guy, you know that. Yeah. I'm with you. Listen. When I first started watching tennis, not to go too far off the deep end here, I loved Yvonne Lendl. Like, when Boris Becker won Wimbledon at 17 years old, I was mad because Yvonne Lendl still hadn't won Wimbledon. You know what I mean? And he never won Wimbledon. And it drove me insane because he dominated all the other surfaces, but he couldn't win on grass. And yeah, so I'm with you. Like,
No one wants a Yale butt.
Yeah, nobody wants that. And I don't want that for Clayton Kershaw. I don't. I want him to win. Bergman, you are the biggest Dodger fan I know. How comfortable are you right now with Clayton Kershaw?
I'm comfortable with Clayton Kershaw. Like LZ said, he's had a great year this year. It's been kind of like a rejuvenating year for him. His velocity's up. I'm very comfortable with him on the mound tonight.
Okay. I feel good. If you feel good, I feel good. You have calmed me down a little bit.
Good.
LZ, has he calmed you at all? Because Greg is not usually a calming influence.
No, listen, I was good with Kershaw. I thought it was going to be 1-2, bam, and done. So far, I'm still, you know, on path with that. Now, if something unfortunate happens, then I'm going to yell at Greg.
Okay. That you know what? That's a perfect solution.
Yeah. That's nothing new.
That is a perfect
solution.
That's true. Yeah. By the way, we are off today at 6:45. At 6:30, we're going to do our picks against the spread. What does that mean? That means we're going to do our confidence vote. How do we play that game? It's very simple. We have five games. We're going to pick the Rams, Raiders, Chargers every week, and then we're going to select two extra games. And we're going to pick against the spread, and we're going to assign a confidence vote to it. Since there's five games, the game we're most confident against the spread, we'll give it a 5. The game we're least confident in, we give it a 1. What we're going to start doing is every week, we're going to let one of you play with us. And if you win, Greg, if they beat us, is that how it works?
So no matter what, if you play with us, you're going to win a Corona cooler to go along with it.
Oh, even if you play, you're going to
just for playing. Just for playing. But if you win, if you get the most points, you come back next week to play us again.
Oh, okay. But then how do we give away the next Corona cooler?
Then another caller comes on there still be two callers that week.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna give away a Corona cooler every week against.
And how big is this cooler?
It's a pretty good size. It's a good $200 value too.
It's like a fancy cooler.
Yeah, this is nothing. We're not just giving away nothing here. This is real.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there like a age limit, or can anyone participate?
You must be. Well, actually, no. It's just a cooler.
Yeah, it's not like alcohol related.
No. So like my mama can call or my son can call in and win.
Nah, I mean, yeah, that's family.
I don't think they can be related to us. Yeah.
I don't think they
can be related to us.
Hold on 1 second.
I mean, it could be like your third cousin, you know?
Hold on.
I mean, they could just call and say.
hang up the phone. Yeah, they're not going to let you in. Yeah, no. They got some rules or something. Sorry, what did you guys say?
Just say it's like it's just Jane.
Jane. Yeah. Nobody's going to believe my mama name is Jane.
Well, then it's not supposed to be your mom.
What is your mom's name? I only know her as Mama Granderson.
That's all you need. That's all you need, Mama Granderson.
Oh, her first name
is Alma. So I have a good chunk of friends who I've known, you know, 30, 40 years, whatever, who call her Miss Alma.
Right.
And then I have friends like you guys who call her Mama Granderson.
Right.
You know, she goes by both. I think the more you get to know her, the more you can use her first name.
Right.
But only if you follow first by Miss.
Mama Granderson makes me laugh all the time. Anytime I've had any interactions with her, she she makes me laugh. She does. I feel like we need to make her a part of this show at some point.
Let me tell you guys something. My mom, you know, has diabetes, and so I stay on top of her in terms of her diet and things like that. The other day, I brought home some maple bacon, and she told me that she couldn't eat the maple bacon because it was too sweet. And this is a woman, mind you, who eats macaroons and cookies and sneaks all kinds of candy into her bedroom and thinks I don't know what's going on all the time. But she's drawn the line on maple bacon. That is outside of her diet. She cracks me up.
Yeah, I hear you. Greg wants us to break, of course. Always
again,
bossy. Such
this
a
is
bossy
fun,
person.
But we got to break. Oh, that's middle management 101. Offer a compliment first before hitting them with the criticism.
Yeah,
I'm learning.
Yeah. I mean, for the love, man. I mean, you know, we're having fun, and Greg wants us to break.
Fine.
All right. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Ooh, I like that.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You like that, LZ?
I'm feeling this.
Oh yeah, it got me moving my shoulders. I'm like,
I'm shocked that we were able to get something like this on the radio.
Why is that?
Well, you know, Laura's usually the one with the ear.
Oh, you say Curtis doesn't have an ear? Curtis, I feel like that's a direct shot at you.
No, for me, it's like when I'm out filling in on another show, I try and use the stuff they have because, like, you know, that's your guys' floor or whatever, and I just kind of click what's here. It just happened to be one of them.
All right, so Laura is in the house. Okay, all righty, I got it. And it wasn't a shot at you. I don't know why you guys are always making a brother against brother. Why can't you just let me live?
All right, Kyrie.
It's the media's fault.
It's the media's fault.
It is. I am the media, and I did actually do that. So in this case, it actually is the media's fault.
Just let me live, George. Just let me live. The art of basketball or whatever.
Just focus on the art. It's just a game.
Just a game.
Kyrie so crazy, man. Bad. He's crazy. Sedano and LZ with you. Clinton Yates, our buddy's going to stop by in a few minutes. We'll talk to him for a while about what's going on in the NBA Finals. But LZ, let's get back to the NBA Finals here real quick. So, you know, we asked Key about it at the end. This Lakers defense, you and I talked about this off the air earlier today. It really is incredible. And I'm trying to think, like, you know, how good this defense is in regards to other Laker teams, right? Like, it is really, really impressive, like, what these guys have done. Because I think that if you look at it, right, Anthony Davis on his own, just being an extraterrestrial that he is, and this athletic phenom with this long arms, you know, for as great as the Lakers have been historically, you know, and I'm not trying to knock anyone, okay? I don't think, like, you know, I love Michael Cooper, right? One of the greatest defenders this franchise ever had. I don't think anyone's ever been as good as this dude. You know what I mean?
No. No, because Michael Cooper, as great as he is, couldn't have guarded 1 through 5. And it's not that you want Anthony Davis out there guarding Jamal Murray or you know, Harden or even Westbrook, you know, switches for the entire game. But the simple fact that there are switches that happen and the Lakers didn't feel it necessary to double team should let you know how right. they feel about AD and his perimeter defense. And we know mm-hmm. what he can do in terms of rim protection. So I'm with you. I don't think that this franchise, let alone many franchises, have had any sort of defender close to what Anthony Davis has. But, you know, George, when you look at the roster period, LeBron finished second once in Defensive Player of the Year voting, multiple all-defensive teams. AD finished second this year. Dwight Howard's 1 in 3 times this year. Rajon Rondo's been all-defense. Danny Green's been all-defense. I mean, should we be surprised? Avery Bradley, Kyrie Irving, speaking of Kyrie, said Avery Bradley guarded him better than anyone who's ever faced him. Mm-hmm. So when you think about the number of players on this team defensively who have credentials defensively, we shouldn't be surprised at all that the Lakers' defense is as good as it is.
You would have to go back. I'm looking it up here. The greatest Lakers defense, you know, considered the greatest Lakers defense, was actually in Minneapolis with George Mikan and those guys. You have, like, 51-52. Like, it was insane what they were doing defensively. They were holding teams to, like, 87 points per 100 possessions or something crazy like that. Because that's the way to extrapolate it, right? It's not per game, because obviously back then the game was played differently, but you play it right. per possession, and that at least gives you a better footing on making it as close to even as possible, right? But you'd have to go back that far to find the greatest Laker defense in history. This one, man, it really does stack up, though, against some of the ones that I in more recent memory, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because of the rule changes in terms of physical contact and just the skill set, particularly of big men, I would argue that the Lakers' defense is better because who they have to face is right. just a better athlete and a better player.
Sure, of course. Bigger, stronger, faster. It always happens.
And more skilled.
All the old heads hate that stuff, right? When we say that, like, an average team in today's NBA would probably beat a team from the 70s or, you know, the 60s, yeah. right? Like,
or
and
80s.
Those old heads get mad when you say that, but to your point, the nutrition's better, the athleticism is better, the training is better, all of it.
Man, I got myself caught up in a conversation in a barbershop. I think this was last year at some point. And somebody was trying to say that if, you know, LeBron was playing like in the 90s or whatever, that like Charles Oakley would lock him up. And I just started laughing to the point in which I had tears in my eyes.
Get out of here.
I was like, do you have any idea how fast and skilled LeBron James is? Because his argument, of course, was that Charles was just as big and strong.
And a bully, right.
And a bully. And I was like going, sure, if he could touch LeBron, I'm sure he would lay some wood on him. But
right.
he's never going to be able to touch him. LeBron
right.
is always going to blow by him.
Right.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just crazy to me. But it really is, man, an exceptional defense. Because even the guys beyond AD, right, to your point, you look at guys like KCP, And look, I know people are up and down on KCP, right? Like, because of his offense, but you can't knock him for his defense. That's for sure. Caruso has the fourth in the regular season. Greg and I talked about this. He had the fourth best defensive real plus minus in the NBA. Alex Caruso, you know, Danny Green. I know people, you know, have been up and down on him, but again, that's the offense. You're rarely knocking him for his defense. Danny Green, even today, at this stage of his career, and he's old, okay, he's not young anymore. Danny Green, I think, LZ, is arguably the greatest transition defender that I've seen in this generation. Like, you know how many times dudes are in transition and Danny Green is running back and either stops the ball or deters the guy from the basket enough where somebody can come and help him, or he slaps the ball away off the guy. Like, you know how many times I've seen that throughout his career? Like, and he's still doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you're still able to have all the smarts and physically able to do what your brain knows what needs to be done, you're in a sweet spot. Why LeBron James is considered a GOAT, or the GOAT, depending upon where you are in this argument,
yeah,
it's because his sweet spot has lasted like over 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like,
for sure.
Like, usually your sweet spot's like a couple seasons, maybe three if you're a great, maybe five.
Right.
10 years.
Yeah.
His brain and body have been like at the peak.
Yeah. Hey, we're not going to actually break. LZ's got to tell you about Vitamin Shop. Karen's got to do traffic. And then on the other side of traffic, Clinton's going to join us, and we're going to keep talking about the NBA Finals, and we'll talk about the Dodgers and the Brewers. So we're not going to take a break. But LZ, tell them about Vitamin Shop real quick.
Absolutely, because listen, man, they've heard it all before, George. We're stronger together. But with BodyTech Sports Nutrition as your training partner, you got actual tools to push your limits, recover, and come back even harder. Explore bodytech.com/ESPN to find the right products for you. All powered by Leveled Up Taste Technology. You know taste is important. Listen, our huge selection of pre-workouts, aminos, BCAAs, protein, and more, they're all independently tested for quality and potency and backed by our quality promise and engineered to deliver results to help you activate your best body, no matter what level you're at. Trust, I got some of these products in my fridge, in my gym right now. We're talking about rocket fuel for your goals, yo. Ready to work this out? Then let's do this. Good news, they're even on Instacart. You can get your BodyTech Essentials delivered in as little as 1 hour. So find the BodyTech Nutrition exclusively at vitaminshop.com or the Vitamin Shop store near you, and learn more at bodytech.com/ESPN. The BodyTech brand, no limits.
All right, let's talk to our girl Karen K before we hear from Clinton. What's up, KK?
So much, you guys. We're going to Sherman Oaks again, busy Thursday night, 405 northbound before Ventura Boulevard. This is a singular crash block in the carpool, two left lanes, traffic jam from Santa Monica Boulevard. This report sponsored by plan.lavote.net. Every registered voter in Los Angeles County will be sent a vote by mail ballot to ensure you a safe voting option. Visit plan.lavote.net to register or to check your registration status so you can organize your plan to vote. Let's get every vote in. I'm Karen K, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, thank you, Karen. All right, let's get our guy Clinton on here. When you guys have a second, I want to talk to him about what we've got going on, man. But, look, I feel like it's going to be – we're in a situation, LZ, where this thing's going to be a wrap pretty soon with this series. So, I do feel – and look, man, I'm not trying to – you know, we talked about it with Key, right? Like, I'm not trying to knock the Heat's hustle. They balled, right? Like, and, you know, they met up against a better team, and now they're hurt. And now this thing is just a formality, it feels like. We're going to be talking about parades here pretty soon. And Clinton is now with us. Clinton, do you have that sense, too? Like, hey, man, it's been a cool run for the Heat. They're way ahead of schedule. But with these injuries, now there's barely even a chance. I don't even know if they can win a game anymore.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. Quickly, though, I want to address two things. Number one, the reason why Oakley wouldn't have been able to keep up with LeBron is not because of the speed. It's because if LeBron ever actually punched somebody back in those days, he would have ended their faces, never mind their careers. People forget about that action. He's not just he's fast. He never hauls off and hits anybody because he's huge, and if he did that, it would be not good. Second thing, Halloween is not canceled. If we're going to wear masks all daggone summer, we're certainly going to wear them for fun. That is to be said. Now, he can't win anything without those two guys. I mean, it sucks. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. it's really unfortunate, too, because I feel like a lot of people were legitimately geared up for this. You know, people were picking the Heat. Names that people respect on their streets and in their grocery stores thought that the Heat could win this. And now it looks like not only was that not possible from a basketball standpoint, but from a roster add-up standpoint, it's not going to happen either because too many guys are hurt. It's just a bummer overall.
Yeah, I wasn't one of those that thought this was going to be a series to begin with. Well, I'm take that back. I thought individual games would be intense, but I picked the Lakers to win in five. Because I just thought that the Lakers were just too big and too good.
There was part of me, George, that felt like because of the fact that the Heat had just been so good in the bubble that you had to give them the so-called puncher's chance. I mean, there was no way that they were going to get embarrassed, but they came out and got embarrassed, and then a couple guys got hurt, and it was like, oh, my bad, Bron. You know, like, sorry, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't come over here and say nothing to me. That's my fault. You know, because I mean, they look great.
Clinton, I mean, if you even look at the play where Bam re-injured his shoulder, he actually initiated a contact against Dwight Howard. He's the one that leaned in, and he ended up getting hurt from doing it. Dwight is so subtly doing it.
Well, he was hurt previously from the previous
series. I mean, that's what I'm saying. He was previously hurt, but he leaned in to Dwight. Dwight didn't hit him.
No. Dwight's had a good little situation, too. I got to give some credit to Vogel for carrying over that start from Dwight from the last series to this series. You know, sometimes you'd be like, oh, a guy pressed the button, but then you don't really know if it's going to adapt to the next series. In this case, you think long-term plan on why you have a Dwight Howard. Oh, right. He started in the finals before. His composure is going to be there. And even through all of the other stuff that you might think about what Howard may or may not have contributed or did in between all those things, he's still a guy that's been there. And when it comes to the NBA Finals, that experience matters. And I think it showed a little bit. His box score wasn't great. I was listening to Sliwa talk about this last night because I was agreeing with him. His box score wasn't crazy. But when Howard was on the floor, you were like, oh, okay. This dude is an impact player right now. And it was really hard for the Heat to deal with. So I think he's had a good couple weeks, Dwight has, and this has all come together really well for him.
Is Anthony Davis, and the answer could be no, and if it's no, then when is the question. Is Anthony Davis ready to be the best player on this team?
Anthony Davis is the best player on this team. He's just not the leader of the team, which is a distinction that I don't think is a big problem necessarily if I'm Vogel. You know, skill set-wise, in terms of matchup problems, in terms of, I'm just going to say it right now, clutch ability as evidenced in the Nuggets series, who are you going to tell me is a better player? I mean, LeBron plays a certain type of way, like almost to the case that you kind of have to, I don't want to say make him an outlier, but like the reason he's allowed to play that way is because you have a guy like AD steadying your offense, never mind your defense. So for me, he is the best player on the team. That doesn't necessarily make him the leader or even always the catalyst. But he's absolutely the best basketball player. That's just obvious to me from the skill set and how he's applied it so far in the playoffs.
Kyrie, I didn't know you had this number. How you been, man? You and Kyrie going to be all right?
What is that supposed to mean?
Oh!
Hold on. LeBron James is the best player in the history of the NBA as far as I'm concerned. Let's just get that out there. I'm saying right now on this team, in this series, and in this bubble, yeah, AD's the best player. And I don't think that that's something that LeBron has to look at as some kind of an insult. The whole reason why he wanted the dude, the whole reason they moved heaven and earth and all other tectonic plates to get them was because he was that good. Why be upset about it now when he's out there throwing up daggers that are going to change series as well as nominating other people in the post and from the outside? I wouldn't be mad about that at all if I was LeBron Raymond James, no matter what LZ tries to start up.
I didn't try to start nothing. It's brother to brother. Why you just can't let people live?
The thing is,
I respect you so much that I will actually entertain your rationale for saying that Anthony Davis is the best player. There's not a lot of people that can even get me to entertain that. And after I spent a couple of seconds entertaining it, I thought, yeah, you're still wrong. But I can see why you're wrong. You know, I can understand why you're wrong. But leadership can't be quantified. And it absolutely needs to be part of the equation when it comes to best player.
Okay, because I mean,
because AD has been a freak of nature almost as long as he's been in the league, and yet he's never had a 50-win season until he met LeBron James. That stands for something. LeBron James took Boobie Gibson to the damn finals. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis is trying to figure out how to make sure that team can be 500. That means something.
By the way, Boobie Gibson scored 19 points in a fourth quarter in one of those playoff games.
That is such a Sedano stat right there. That is the
19 points in a fourth quarter in the Eastern Conference Finals, Boobie Gibson.
Let me say this quickly, though, LZ, to your point. You might be right about what the element is of leadership towards getting AD great right now, but my point is this. Part of LeBron's overall oeuvre is his ability to do things like this, get great production out of guys who necessarily were not going to be that guy. That adds to LeBron, for me, on the long term, the fact that he's made AD better right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm with you. Listen, if the argument is AD the best player in the NBA or is it LeBron? That's a great argument to be having if you're a Laker fan.
It is. Yeah. It is. I like that.
The Kyrie stuff is interesting. For those that don't know, basically Kyrie went or was on the Boardroom podcast, right? And he was asked the question about, you know, who takes the last shot, him or Kevin Durant? And then I'm paraphrasing. He said something to the effect of, you know, I always feel like I'm the best guy to take that last shot. And now, for the first time, I'm playing with a mother bleeper that I think can take that last shot. And so – That's out there in the atmosphere, right? LeBron and AD are asked the question, or LeBron's asked the question about why, what's his relationship like with AD and why does it work so well? And he starts by saying, we're not jealous of each other. And he goes on and on and on about not being jealous of each other. And then Kyrie goes out on Instagram and posts out a video as he's walking in Brooklyn or something and saying about how, why do we got to pit brother versus brother? And it's just a game. And if I got to call someone out, I'll call them out by name. Just the silliness is crazy. But what do you make of just all of that?
Let me explain what's going on here. When two people are together in a high-profile situation and one of them leaves the other in a very ceremonious and loud way and then proceeds to find another partner in a very ceremonious and loud way, and the other, who initially was just chilling, goes and moves along with themselves, and then the person who left realizes that they don't necessarily like the other thing that they went to that much, and so they've got to spend a lot of time talking about it in one way or another. That's what's going on right here. Kyrie does not love the fact that LeBron James is skating through the finals. You know what I'm saying? And so as a result, he's got to throw up dust on the other side of the country with a team that nobody cares about. That's really all that's going on here. I understand this. I don't even have a problem with it. He's getting tight because LeBron's on his TV while he's sitting at home.
But
so
check this
he's
out,
to say something.
But
that's
check
it.
This out, man. Check this out. Kyrie's been in the league like, what, 10 years?
Okay.
Like, literally, LeBron James has been in the finals every year since he's been in the league except for one.
Well, maybe Kyrie should have thought about that before he decided to jettison himself from the LeBron James plane.
Like, correct.
That's
like,
the whole point here.
Not the postseason every year. Every year, Kyrie, and I'm going to say it again for the people in the back, all but one of Kyrie Irving's seasons in professional basketball, LeBron James has been in the finals. The finals. He shouldn't be saying anything about LBJ, but thank you.
One person is acutely aware of that more than anybody else on earth, and that's Kyrie Irving. Okay? That's what I'm saying. And that's why he's out here trying to make sure that people are paying attention to other stuff, because he thought he knew how to get there without LeBron. Turns out, not the case.
Man, they threw a party in Massachusetts when he left.
Hey, Clint, can you stick around to talk Dodgers real quick?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay, stick around. We're gonna talk Dodgers with you on the other side, because we got Mac coming up from the LAFC. And don't forget, we got our picks against the spread. We're going to invite one of you guys to play against me, LZ, and Greg. We're going to do that every single week. So come by and hang out with us. That'll be at 6:30. The person who is selected to play with us will win a Corona cooler. Is it Corona, Greg? I want to make sure I get that right. Greg?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Corona
it
cooler.
Is Corona.
And it is a value of $200, okay? So we're going to be doing that every single week during the football season, which is going to be pretty awesome. So you'll get a chance to participate with that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need to know here on Sedano and LZ. Clinton Yates hanging out with us. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Clinton Yates. Just a quick update on what's going on in Major League Baseball. Right now, the Cardinals lead the Padres 4-2 in the top of the fifth. The Braves eliminated the Reds 5-0. The Athletics did the same to the White Sox 6-4. Marlins Cubs postponed. And of course, we will take you right till 6:45, where our coverage of Brewers Dodgers is going on tonight here on this very station. But the big news in the world of sports today is the hiring of Doc Rivers. LZ Granderson, what do you think of the fit?
The fit.
I think in Philadelphia, I should add. He's the Sixers, yes.
I believe it is not a good fit right now. I think the roster needs to be adjusted because
no shooting.
Doc doesn't need to do is have to manage personalities in addition to X's and O's in terms of trying to convince all-star players to play hard every night. So I would have much rather he had been in a situation where all he needed to do was coach guys who wanted to win. But now he's got to coach guys who wants to win and convince the best players that they should want to be coached to win.
Clinton?
That's a lot.
Yeah, that people talked about whether or not that job was better than Indiana. People were like, well, obviously, it's the Sixers, yada, yada, two people. I'm like, no, for that exact reason. Don't know about coaching guys who don't exactly know what they want to do rather than coaching a lesser market, if you will, team with motivated players. That's personal opinion, but good luck and hope he does well there.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this, man. Embiid and Simmons don't get along all that well. He's already dealt with that with Blake and CP and DeAndre and that nonsense. Like, that's just an extra added layer of stuff.
If you only had to keep one, who do you keep, Embiid or Simmons?
Embiid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big man. I just think that his skill set, once at the top of his ceiling, is just a different level of replaceable, if at all, than Simmons is. We haven't even seen what the best Simmons is. The guy won't shoot threes. I'm never going to get over that. Okay? Sorry. You are completely limiting your game on purpose. I'm sorry. That does not make you an excellent player. I can't accept that. I just can't.
He's a very good player, but until he at least take him. You know what I mean? Just take him. Make people guard you out there. I'm with you. All right, that's what you need to know, presented by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. So the Dodgers, we're taking you up till 6:45. Dodgers-Brewers game two tonight. Dodgers get the win yesterday. So let's start with Kenley. Clinton, I'll ask you first, because LZ and I talked about it during Purgatory. Are you worried about Kenley, like officially?
Yeah. I mean, I've been worried about Kenley officially for a while now in terms of postseason play. But I would say that confidence in him is low. Not to the point that I wouldn't throw him at all, but I would be very cautious as to put myself into high-level situations by design with Kenley right now, for sure.
So, if you had a choice, would you want to have another starting pitcher, given the blister that Walker Buehler is dealing with, and obviously the postseason career of Kershaw's less than stellar? Or would you rather roll with those two and find a different closer?
I think you got to roll with those two and find a different closer. I just don't think that. First of all, a guy who's in the pen who can throw. I mean, I realize that Kenley's velocity is not exactly what we love these days, but like. Pen parts are more interchangeable to me than starters are. And so, you know, Buehler to me is probably the best pitcher on the team on some level. You know, we can get all into this. I mean, I know Kershaw's had a good year, but like, I find another closer. And that doesn't mean that I shut Kenley down or start leaving him off postseason rosters. It just means that I mix it up at some point in order to make sure that I don't have to put a guy in a position that, I don't know, maybe might be in his head at some point. The Dodgers are going to win games because their bats are banging people out. And if it comes down to what's happening in these situations, then maybe this team wasn't as good as we thought anyway. That's just me. But, I'm certainly not going to think that all of a sudden Kenley Jansen's going to turn into a guy that, frankly, they wanted him to be all along, that he hasn't been in recently.
Clayton Kershaw's last two postseason starts haven't been great. Last year, the Washington start wasn't ideal.
I'm sorry, who? I missed you referring to with that team. The who?
Clayton Kershaw.
No, is, who? What team? What team was he facing? Oh, right.
The Nationals.
No, just reminding America who beat him last year.
Well, it was easy to forget. It was such a blip.
Wow.
The Nationals. And then his start in the World Series against the Red Sox wasn't ideal either. His last good start in the postseason was the NLCS against the Milwaukee Brewers. What are you seeing from Clayton Kershaw? Now, his velocity seems to be better this year than it was last year. So I was a believer that probably was gone. I have been proven wrong. But what do you make of what you're seeing from this iteration of Clayton Kershaw?
I think that this was the best possible bounce back scenario, because I think that Doc does not have to sort of ask himself, never mind be asked the same questions about whether or not he's just going to go to Kershaw. You remember last year when it was like, the question was, maybe he's a little bit too confident in this guy. Maybe he probably should second guess himself every once in a while when he decides he wants to hand Kershaw the ball. Well, the lead up to that in the offseason would have been, it didn't work out. You had the iconic picture of him sitting in the dugout. But if he'd come out and had a dog of a year, a bad one, well, then by the time the playoffs got there, you would have been facing yourself with the question, well, has he totally lost it? Should we trust him for the playoffs? I think now at least increased velocity, he's looked pretty good. There's no real reason not to go to him except for the rest of the playoff appearances recently. So it's tough, but it's not as bad as it could have been considering how they came off the last season ending.
I agree. I mean, and George and I were talking about this earlier. I so desperately need him to just get a championship.
Yeah.
We've all been in those spaces where all-time greats have to do the yeah buts.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want it for him. He's a good man. He's a philanthropist. He's never embarrassed us or the city or his name. I think his taxes are fine. Like,
hold on. Were you not LZ the one running over his jersey? Do I have this correct? If I remember this correctly from last year, whose jersey were you running over with your car, LZ?
All right, I don't like you bringing it up as if I did it more than once. I ran it over. I wasn't running it over.
I was just trying to make myself clear that that was you because I was here a completely different person.
I had apologized to him for doing so. I apologized to the Dodgers organization. Clayton has since forgiven me for doing such. We talked about it man to man. And unlike Kyrie, I actually said it to his face. Mm. And I stood there and I took whatever criticism he had to say in response. I owned up to what I did.
What did he say to you?
I have it recorded, actually, so that I never forget that moment. But basically, it was just like, we're good. That's cool. Some of it.
No, I was just messing with you because my point was that legitimate people had concerns about what it was that, was going on with his career and with his psyche. But, obviously he's figured it out. So, maybe he's going to be able to roll it over into this postseason. We hope so because I'm kind of with you. I didn't, as much as I like seeing the World Series champion Washington Nationals advance past the Dodgers, I certainly didn't like seeing Kershaw sitting in that daggone dugout acting like the world was going to end right in front of his eyes. That was unfortunate. So, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Greg Bergman thinks John Smoltz hates the Dodgers. Your thoughts?
John Smoltz hates the. Why would John Smoltz hate the Dodgers?
That's what I said. He Bergman. Bergman believes that he is biased when calling a Dodgers game.
Bergman believes somebody else is biased. Are we seriously entertaining this discussion right now? Bergman is the most
I am not alone
and nicely biased person I've ever met when it comes to the Dodgers. So maybe this is I can identify it because I know it scenario. Mm-hmm. Why would John Smoltz be biased against the Dodgers though? Is there some matchup from the 90s or the 80s that I don't know about that would lead him to this when he was a pitcher with the Braves? Or what do you think this is about, Bergman?
This is just him not liking the Dodgers, being a part of the Braves organization. Wow. He does. Listen,
it's not so ridiculous.
I put up a poll. No, it's not ridiculous. You stop that right now. It's not ridiculous. I put up a poll. 86% of the people said that it was yes. He does dislike
the Dodgers. Yes, because you put up the poll.
LZ's never on my side. No, but LZ is never on my side. LZ, are you on my side on this?
Yes, I agree.
Thank you.
You know, Clinton, if you do the Googles, which I did, you type in John Smoltz hates the Dodgers, there's actually a lot of articles out there by reputable organizations, including this one right here, the ESPNs, where people are saying, hey, what's going on with Smoltz and the Dodgers?
Okay, yeah. I mean,
but
that's
fine. But
not,
the New York, the New York rags also say he's biased against the Yankees.
Well, he might be. I don't know. I don't pay attention to the Stankies like that. But
Y'all are hating.
What do you mean hating?
Okay, so look, listen, I have to go, y'all. My brothers and sisters are yelling at me. We have a Zoom right now, and I just wanted them to know that. So,
like your real brothers and sisters are like
my real
my
real brothers and sisters. Okay. I'm looking at them right now, and
don't pit them, brothers against brothers. Okay,
I know. I'm telling you that. I made them watch me on this Zoom talk to you guys before I joined the Zoom. So I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you, my friend. We appreciate your time.
Anytime. Next time, though, I want my own walk-up music, Greg.
Okay,
let's get on that.
Wow.
Offline.
I mean, you can pick it. Pick it, and it's
yours.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good, guys. Talk to you later.
Clinton Yates. Follow him on Twitter, at Clinton Yates. He's leaving us for his family, his extended family, for his real family, so we will forgive him.